Hello, 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 everyone. How are you? Hope you're having a fantastic, fantastic day, and may peace be upon you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for watching my show. Yes, I can. With me, your host, Dr. Izdihar Jamil. And today I have the beautiful, a good friend of mine, Deidre Siriani, who is a transformation leadership coach, but it's all about using your intuition, your inner guidance to guide you in your life, in your business, in your success. Basically using that as your compass in determining your next step. So Deidre, darling, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for having me, Iz. I'm so happy to be here.
It's my absolute pleasure. So today, Deidre and I, we're just going to have a chat about this intuition. It's something that I've just, you know, recently started to rely upon recently. And then my interaction with Deidre has led me to believe that, you know, it's okay to be called a woo-woo when you go through that path and trusting intuition, because it always leads you to the best place. And then Deidre also has a book out quite recently. Deidre, what was the title of your book?
It's called Turn Your Light On. I have the draft in my hand, but it's actually out right now. Turn Your Light On.
Brilliant. Turn Your Light On. And congratulations on your book. I know it's been years in the making. I know it's like you've gone through several hoops to get it out. You're starting it, taking a pause, and then coming back again. And that book is about the essence of our conversation today. Turning your light on from within. It starts with you. It starts with trusting who you are, your gut instinct, the courage to be you. So Deidre, let's start with starting back at the turning point when you kind of shifted your life to be where you are today. Because I know you started off working, was it in corporate, if I remember correctly? You were, was it corporate or something else?
I was a yoga instructor. I owned my own yoga business for 8 years.
8 years, okay, sorry, apologies for that. Because I know you started off with something different, that not where you are now, but then there was a turning point in your life that happened, that you're like, no, this, I can't do this anymore. I can't do it this way anymore. That has started you to embark on this journey. So Deidre, what was that turning point?
Wow, great question. I remember I was in my kitchen and I was putting my fingers through my hair, and just a little background on my hair. At this point in my life, I had mermaid hair down to my hips. Grew up with two older brothers. The only thing that made me the girl in the family was my hair. Okay. I'm in my kitchen putting my fingers through my hair, and I noticed that something feels a little bit off. And right away, I'm like, oh, you know what? It must just be that scar when I fell when I was younger. And I quickly realized, nope, that's not it. So I grabbed my phone. I raced to the bathroom. I put on camera mode and I'm angling it at the back of my head, trying to see what's going on with the mirror. Right. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I have a bald spot and it's this big. And I remember looking at myself in the mirror, face pale white. How did this happen? How do I fix this? What's going on? And then I go back to the kitchen table. I sit down for a moment to ground. And that's when I hear this voice say, if you don't listen to your soul, you're going to manifest cancer and die in the next year. And I was like, what? And then moments later, I have a flashback to the only other time I had ever really heard this voice in my life. It was 5 years prior. I had a bouquet of pink roses in my hands, my favorite flowers. And I had my friends and family to the left and the right of me overlooking the water. I had my friend up front, Marty, playing the guitar, singing the song by James Blunt. It's beautiful. It's true. I'm wearing my wedding gown and I'm walking down the aisle. I'm walking down the aisle, which I thought was going to be the happiest day of my life with the man I was going to marry and have kids with and everything with. And moments before stepping towards him, this same voice says, this just isn't going to work. No one ever taught me or told me what that voice was. And everything in my mind and the logical side of things, like, made me believe that I was on the right path, that I was doing the right thing.
Yes.
And so I shoved that down because guess what? It was inconvenient. It didn't make any sense. And I didn't have enough practice knowing what that was. So now, 5 years later, I'm sitting at my kitchen table. I have a chunk of hair missing on the top of my head. And I start to think about all of the things that have happened since that moment that I walked down the aisle and didn't listen to that voice. I'm like, well, I have 4 different types of autoimmune disease that the doctors can't help me with. Like, they're like, you can take pills, but it's genetic. And I had chronic pain to the point where my massage therapist is actually fired me. She's like, sorry, can't help you anymore. And
oh, gosh.
It was bad. And so I'm like, okay. And I was depressed to the point of not wanting to be alive anymore. And every single time I was around my husband, I felt this contraction in my body because he was always talking down to me, telling me how to be, who to be, how to dress. And it was an emotionally abusive relationship where I was physically getting sick. So I'm sitting there at my kitchen table having these flashbacks. And I'm like, oh my gosh, could it be that this entire time my soul has been communicating to me? And it's just been getting louder and louder, but I just haven't been listening. So I knew in that moment that if I didn't listen, I wasn't going to be around for another year because I was getting so sick. And so I did. And that brought me on this path of studying with shamans, mastering healing, personal development, honoring my truth, understanding the language of the soul. And now today I help people decode and understand the language of the soul, step into radical alignment in a space of not needing to compromise in any area of life, life and business, and then taking that energy, taking that truth within self and actualizing our genius into reality through our gifts and through our impact. So that was a huge turning point for me because my body was shutting down and I was trying to make something work based on the outside world and based on what I thought I was doing right versus what my body, what my intuition was telling me. Yeah.
I think that is just so, such a huge thing because like you said, for you, having the mermaid hair is part of who you are, right? It's part of all that you ever know. And it's part of your identity. You still do have that mermaid hair. And then all of a sudden to have that patch, right? That bold patch, and a clump of things coming out was like a trigger point for you. And it's interesting that suddenly you were brought back to 5 years before in that moment when you're walking down the aisle with the beautiful pink bouquet flowers. Do you feel that, Deirdre, at those points throughout your years, somehow your body or your heart or that little voice has been giving you the hints along the way, and we're not taught the language of the soul, how to decode it? We feel like it's like, oh, it's just a nuisance, or it's just, no, it's just I don't think that's the right thing to do. So do you feel like your body kind of having that reaction as a result of your soul kind of like, hang on a minute, I need to stop her, I need to make her really listen and have that sign, you know, because we're always praying for a sign, but then when the sign comes, we'll be like, no, I don't think so.
Yeah.
So do you feel like in some way our soul has always been talking to us in one way or the other, either through our body or through the manifestation of our physicality, through an object, through a person? Do you feel that has been with you since you kind of like brought that, I mean, honing into your intuition?
Yeah, so our body always speaks to us. The question is, you know, how to listen. And From studying with shamans for, you know, I was already working with shamans and studying this work before that happened, but I didn't have the awareness of what was really going on. And which is interesting, because I think that happens a lot to us where we're learning something, but we haven't learned it. It's not in our body. It's not integrated everywhere. And so our soul communicates through symptoms of tension, pain, resistance, dis-ease, and it has a message for us. And when we can actually just like pause and listen, which takes, we need to get radically honest with ourselves, which is the most challenging thing to do, right? Am I really happy? Is this really working? Like, how do I really feel about this? There's a lot of metaphors with our body and what needs to come through. The second thing is we need to have a certain level of courage to sit with it. I had to have a lot of courage to sit with the fact that I married someone and I had a message right before marrying them. Like, that's a lot to sit with. And then also sit with all of the challenges and pain that I've been through during that span. Was it soul school? Yes. Is it part of what I'm here to teach people? Absolutely. But I had to sit with and be courageous enough to be like, that was, I did that to myself. Right. And then the third part is showing up and taking action. Cause if we don't take action on the truth, on the courage, then we just can continue to recycle the pain. So our symptoms are signs from our soul. And we can sit and ask the questions, they will present themselves, but you need to have honesty, courage, and you need to show up. Otherwise it shows up as poison in the body. I have a good friend that says, if you don't listen to your soul, it will kill you. And I fully believe that.
Yes. Absolutely. And your words about being radically honest with yourself, not with, forget other people for a moment, but to be radically honest with yourself can be hard at times, because we're sometimes we're taught, like in my culture, we're taught to please others, right? Just do it because, you know, it's part of the culture, or just do it because this elderly said that you needed to do it that way, even though I'm like, well, I don't want to do it that way. And I feel like kind of like bringing it into business, because that those are one of the things that you do, is that you help business owners expand their impact in the world. So in business, we're always going to come across situations that looks like an opportunity, but at the same time, it kind of feel like a poison to you. But you then you look at, oh, okay, actually, no, no, logically, it's good because this and this and this. But then your heart is saying, no, it's actually not. But you kind of like, it's hard to listen to your heart when everything in paper looks good because of the fear of opportunities that you're going to be missing out. Oh, if I don't do this, I'm not going to have this. So how do we use our intuition to kind of guide you in business? Because we come a lot of collaborations, joint ventures, people that want to work with us, people who wants to explore things with us. You know, we come across a lot of those times, clients who offering us something. So how do we use that, Deirdre, in business, especially when it looks really good on paper, but it feels heavy?
Yeah. So the first way to really, you know, and I recently went through something, so I'd love to share that story in a minute. Yeah. Like, I'm literally on the tail end of something that I didn't want to listen to because I was in the external, not the internal. So it's a practice and a remembrance. But the better your intuition is, the faster decisions you can make, the more impact you'll have, the less mistakes you'll make, the more time. It's just, it expands everything, right?
Right.
So it's really about the first feeling you have about something. Like, I've had people in my life, and I'm sure you have too, and the listeners have had people in their life where maybe the first time they met them, they were like, oh, I don't know, there's something about that person that doesn't feel right. But later over time, maybe you build a friendship, a partnership or something. And then a year or two later, you're like, oh, yeah, something is off here. No, that something bad happened, right? And it's your intuition gave you the first nudge at the beginning, but then your logical mind was checking things off the list of, oh, that person's trustworthy or this or whatever the thing is, programming. And so the first thing to do is trust your initial feeling about an opportunity, like right away. Your intuition will give you an will give you a hit within a moment. Another great way to tune into your intuition, you can do it with food. This is like my favorite drink ever.
What is it? Is it pineapple?
It's organic. What? It's amazing.
Oh, cool.
But this is not a commercial. I just was having it up. But just like food, you can put it in front of your stomach a few inches away and you can close your eyes. And if your body sways forward, your body's saying, there's something in here for me. If it sways back, your body's like, no, this isn't good for me. And if your body stays neutral, it means it doesn't really matter. So one of the exercises that sometimes I'll get my clients to do based on what we're working on and all of that is I'll get them to really take a moment to pay attention to different people in a store, in an environment, and just put your whole attention on the person in front of you, like anyone, and you don't need to know them. And then through that, notice if your body starts to sway forward or back. Right away, your body's telling you if there's something there for you, whether it's a friendship, a business opportunity, right? Or not, or if you're neutral, it's not for you. So there's all these little exercises that you can do, but the most important thing is your initial feeling. So what happened recently within myself that I would love to share is I scheduled this event in Vancouver, locally. I'm super excited about it. And I had my book launch and so many other things happening at once. And there were some hiccups in the process. That's called life and business. Welcome.
Yeah.
And you know what? There was something about the event that felt like there were a lot of great things that were happening leading up to it. But the person who was doing a lot of the marketing locally, she had a flare up with an illness that she had. So she opted out 3 weeks before. And then things just started to feel like booking the venue, putting the money down. I had a bit of resistance to it. And I was like, oh, maybe I'm in my own way. Cause I know this event's people, like maybe it's self-sabotage. I just need to take action. So instead of really tuning into the subtle signs of my intuition saying, this isn't quite right, you know, I booked the location, I did all the things, and now we're a week till the event. And I've never done this before. I've never canceled or postponed an event before. I'm always go, 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 make it happen. I messaged and called everyone today and I said, listen, this is a no. My body's been saying no big time, especially the last few days. And it's been manifesting as anxiety. And I realized that if I can't make the event, the experience, what it's meant to be, I'm not just going to do it to just have it. And so there were all these other things that were coming up that would basically take away the fullest experience of what it's meant to be. And I was like, no, I can't compromise my work or my energy just to fulfill something. So I ended up being in battle with myself, like back and forth, back and forth. So when we're in battle with ourselves, it's usually because somewhere earlier on, we didn't pay attention to a small nudge, right? And I had a couple of those nudges, but I was super occupied with other things and I didn't listen. And then today I had to call people and everyone was super understanding, but I was like, you know what? I would have saved myself a lot of energy, time and stress if I just was paying attention to that. So resistance isn't always you getting in your own way and sabotaging. Sometimes it's your intuition saying something's not quite right here.
Beautiful. It's just, you know, that awareness of just listening. And again, your work being radically honest with yourself, because it does take courage to listen to it. And then going through that process as well. Yes, you could have saved yourself a lot of time, but actually it's the reminder of like, you know what, this is okay. I can deal with this. I just have to correct it. Now that you're aware of it, you just have to correct it the best way that you can and allowing things to kind of manifest in the best way possible for you or for the people around you. Also now, Deirdre, like kind of thinking, right? Usually money dictates our decision in terms of business. I mean, not all the time, but you know, entrepreneurship, you don't have a steady income. It's like you don't know what's gonna happen at the end of the month or the end of the day. So there's money does play a factor. factor in kind of like the decision making. It's a huge factor, a heavy factor to it. How do we kind of like understand whether that flow, what I call is the blessing of money, the blessing from the source, right? How do we know like that blessing, there's the blessing in the source, in the money, even though it's like an obscene amount or a good amount, but actually it's well, in the mafia world, they call it as the blood money, right? Like it's like not a good source of money. So how can we actually kind of tune into that and in a way not overriding our intuition, our principles and value, and basically not allowing the dollar sign to be one of the ultimate factors in making our decision, whether it's money, whether it's that person's fame. You know, sometimes we do get the shiny objects of being in collaboration with a particular influencer, but actually in the long run, it may not be the right one for us. So how can we have that courage to like not be in a way influenced, but actually to have a clear conscience to make the best decision, whether it's our relationship, whether it's in a career, whether it's in business, or even with family matters?
Yeah, so that's a big question. And so with that, I would say like knowing what your values are, right? Mm-hmm. Like I have like, there are three to four main pillars of the work that I do. It's truth, love, purpose, and wisdom. Mm-hmm. So I know that the work that I do as far as the values behind my business is truth, love, purpose, and wisdom. So if I'm teaching something, if I'm collaborating with someone, the truth is like they need to be in alignment with their truth and mm-hmm. spiritual and connected and all of that. They need to bring love to the table. Otherwise, we're not aligned. And they need to really be on purpose. So purposeful, but also bring wisdom. So that's more of a business kind of piece. As far as money goes, I really like to think of money as just energy. And I feel like, especially in a lot of people who are spiritual, sometimes they can have this like, oh, money's bad. Well, it's not bad. It's just energy. It's just, how are you approaching it? And sometimes we have to clear our karma and our energy around money and our past experiences, trauma, imprints, and all of that, and our programming in order to have real clarity around it. Like, I have no problem turning away clients that I know aren't a good fit for me, because I'm like, well, I know that I'm not going to enjoy working with this person because they're not a good fit. And also, when you think about what you're really excited about and what brings you joy, and when you align fully to that, money will come, but you need to work on clearing karma, healing trauma, and programming around it so that it can come to you. There's a woman I was working with years ago, and she was really struggling to reach a new level of income in her business. She was doing well. She's a speaker and author, all that, but she was capped and she was doing all of these like things to advance through business coaches and all of that. And then we worked together, we did a session, and she quickly realized that she had a money block because her dad yelled at her when she was young, when she asked for more. So she was shamed when she wanted more. So now energetically in her business, she wasn't allowing all of the money to flow to her because on a subconscious level, she thought it was bad. So when we cleared that, suddenly she was like, wow, I'm able to break free from the limits I put on myself. So much of it is our programming, and so much of it is, do we give ourselves permission to really have what we want? And when we have those aligned, that is when money and everything can flow in a really powerful way.
That is beautiful. And I want to bring that this concept that we talked about to your book, because turning your light on, it's what is this concept that you wanted to bring, turning the light on? Is our light not already turned on yet? Or is it like, where are the switches, Deirdre? So what is that like about the concept of turning your light on?
Yeah, so turning your light on is, we all are bright lights. But a lot of us have turned our light off because we don't feel safe to be in our light. We don't know how to. We have programming, we have things that are blocked, and we haven't learned to channel our light. And when we haven't learned to really channel our light and feel safe in who we really are, we hold back, we self-sabotage, we create drama, we create chaos, we manifest dis-ease in the body, and it blocks us from really making the impact that we're here to make in the world. So there's four stages of turning your light on. Mm-hmm. Stage one, I like to think of like being in the forest in the middle of the night with a flashlight that doesn't work. Well, what are you going to do? Right?
Right.
You're going to be scared and you're going to hang out beside a tree and you're not going to move. You're going to have anxiety. You're going to stay stuck. You're going to feel like you can't see in front of you and you're not going to take any action, right? Mm-hmm. So if you feel stuck, if you feel disconnected, if you're in anxiety, if you have dis-ease in the body, you're disconnected from your purpose, and you're not seeing a lot of change in your life, you're probably at stage one. You've turned your light off because you don't feel safe. Stage two is the flickering light stage. It's the flashlight that sometimes works and you're like on purpose, you're on mission. And then all of a sudden it's off and you're like, oh, fear, contraction. I don't know who I am. I don't know what my purpose is, right? So that stage, it's the flickering light stage of you haven't built up enough self-trust and you still have triggers and programmings that are being triggered on a regular basis that you might be aware of, you might not be aware of. And because of those triggers, conscious or unconscious, suddenly out of nowhere, you self-sabotage, you opt out, you shrink, you hold back who you are. And your biggest struggle is yourself. You're in battle with yourself a lot because sometimes you show up fully and sometimes you don't. And in the outside world, people don't really fully trust you because you're not consistent, right? Mm. And you don't fully trust yourself. And in this space, you're not making the impact that you want, the money you want. You're just not feeling, you're not feeling good about it. And then there's stage three. Stage three is the bright light stage. Right? So it's like having your light fully on, but there's no direction. So you're in the forest in the middle of the night. You can see a little bit to the left, a little bit to the right, but you don't have like a clear view of where you're going. And so how that manifests in the life of entrepreneurship and all of that is we tend to put our energy everywhere and we are building usually other people's dreams. We have a lot of excitement, but no direction and no depth. Mm-hmm. And as a result, usually there's one thing that we really want on a soul level, but we haven't maybe admitted to ourselves that it's what we need and what we want to do. We don't have the self-trust or the guidance. So our dreams are usually on the back burner and everyone else's and all the distractions are in front of us instead. So we're overcommitted. We're burnt out, we're resentful, we're oftentimes in relationships where we feel like we're contributing more than others. And then there's stage four. This is the stage you want to be at, and this is the space of self-mastery. This is where your light's fully on, and it's in a direction, it's super focused so that wherever you're going, you know where you're going because you can see clearly, and everything else is black because you're not distracted. You cannot be distracted. And on this path, you're in legacy building. You know what your purpose is. You have the right support in place. You have the right mentors. You have the right team. And things are happening for you. And you trust yourself. And as you just being a light, you're empowering other people to do the same. So that's really what turning your light on is. It's about being at stage four. It's about being that light that is waking up other people just by being the light that you are, just like you is. Like you just being the light that you are is lighting the way for others. Like the other day when you talked about your magazine, I was like, oh my gosh, I want to have a magazine. Like that just inspired me. And I was like, I don't even know what that looks like. But isn't that cool how just being in our light and being on purpose and committing to the things that are challenging sometimes, how we give other people permission to do the same.
Absolutely. And that is like, that's, it is one of the best place to be. But then again, like you said, there's a journey towards it, isn't it? And in your book, you kind of like put in simple exercises so that people can just, you know, take the step, you know, whether it's breaking through their own blueprint or clearing off certain things that they needed to clear off. Or like you mentioned earlier, in terms of trusting intuition, just stand at a place, at a supermarket, a grocery store, wherever you are, and just focus on a person and just see where you're leaning towards, whether you're leaning towards, you're leaning backwards, or you just stay still. That is like what I love about your book, because it's not just you know, like, oh, it's amazing, exciting. And then you're left like, what's next? What do I do? So you have those little simple things like, do you call it exercises? Or is it like kind of like simple actions, isn't it, that people can just take? You know, it's like you're doing exercise, you're a yoga instructor before. It's like you speaking to people, this is how you do the cat pose. But then you just tell them and they don't even do the cat pose. It isn't gonna like make a difference when you don't even do physically. So that, I feel like that is, talk us through quickly about what it is, kind of how it looks like when people buy a copy of your book, Turning Your Light On.
Absolutely. So it's chapter by chapter. This is a proven system that I've developed over the past 10 years of doing this work, working with hundreds of people and really turning their light on so that they can be in a space of fulfillment, sharing their gifts. And it's about what rituals do you need to have in place in order to be who you're meant to be. So it's about setting you up from the ground up and then taking you into specific parts, steps of this proven system so that you can actually make massive progress that potentially in areas of your life that you've been like, oh, I've been struggling with this for a while. I haven't been able to move the dial. This is the book that you wish that you had 10 years ago. This is the feedback I've been getting from people. You are going to have radical transformation in your life when you implement it. And there are questions, there are exercises in here. So you can actually put it into action. And chapter by chapter, you're going to see results. And there's a quiz in here that can, you know, assess where you're at, what stage you're at, what do you need, what do you need to work on? And there's a lot of personal stories in here of myself that may be relatable to you that can help you really understand how it's showing up in your life and how you can make the most of it.
That is fantastic. And, you know, Deirdre, remember to give me a signed copy of your book when we meet up soon. And also, where can people grab a copy of your book, Turning Your Light On? Where's the best place for them to grab a copy?
The Turn Your Light On book, it's available on Amazon. So you can just go to Amazon, Turn Your Light On, and then Deirdre Suriani, or you can go to turnyourlightonbook.com and you can grab your copy or many copies. Lots of people are grabbing lots of copies for their team members, for their friends, and that's a great way to share the love.
Fantastic. So Deirdre, kind of like we're wrapping up for this whole session, what would be kind of like the legacy and the wisdom that you want to live on to people so that when they look back at 5, 10, 1,000 years time, this is a legacy from you to them? What would that legacy be?
The legacy that I really want to leave is, you know, my Nana, my grandma who passed away like 7 years ago, she's just such a powerful woman, short, Italian, spicy woman. And she just had a huge heart. Every single person she met, she left an imprint on their heart. And so for me, it's the same. It's just, if I can leave that legacy of touching everyone's heart that I come into contact and giving them more permission to be who they are, that's the legacy right there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've one quote from you that I love that you said earlier that someone mentioned to you before was that if you don't do things that are aligned with it, it's going to kill your soul. So don't wait for the moment that it's going to kill your soul. Your soul would be so beautiful, so generous. It's going to be showing you things to tell you that, hey, something needs to change, or you need to tweak this, you need to move away from this, or you need to go to that person. So do things that when I see Deirdre now, like, you know, I've met her for almost a year and about 6 months now. And whenever we meet, we have such a great time. I remember the last time we met was for my birthday. And I've seen firsthand experience on Deirdre's intuition. Like, we're literally in the foyer at the hotel waiting for Deirdre to come. So there I was with a few other people, and then, you know, a car passed by and Deirdre came, was like, oh my God, oh, I can't believe, you know, I'm waiting for you, I'm gonna miss you. And I'm like, what is she doing? Like, I'm over here. But it's actually, Deirdre has this beautiful intuition. Like, that car looks exactly like my car. You know, it's kind of like the SUV. I mean, it wasn't her intuition. It was her vision at that moment that's kind of like clouding. So, literally, I was just a few feet apart from her. So her intuition is really spot on in that area. I mean, I just gotta blame it on your vision, Dee. So it's like, I've seen firsthand on Deirdre's intuition. Like, Deirdre haven't seen my car before. She doesn't even know what car I drove, but she was like, instantly, she knew that it's kind of had that vibration of similarities within me. And it's just so beautiful to see. So don't do the things that's going to start killing your soul, because that is the thing that's going to lead you to, what would you say, Dee, when you're killing your soul? What are the things that you can see? Is it the depression? Is it the relationship? When your soul starts to die?
Yeah, so our soul will kill our physical body if we don't listen to the soul. And that's dis-ease, through dis-ease in the body, through physical pain. All of those symptoms are your soul saying, you're not listening to me. And eventually it can turn into manifestations of disease that can kill you. So any kind of disease, I do believe like 90% or more of disease comes from not honoring the soul.
That is interesting. That is beautiful. So start to listen to your soul, start to honor it, start to understand, like Deirdre said, the language of your soul. It's speaking to you in various ways. My soul is speaking to me in various things, and more and more and more I start to listen to it, I start to honor it, even though sometimes it really doesn't make sense. When my gut instinct is telling me something, it really doesn't make sense. I'm like, but it's the opposite of what I should be doing. But no, it's this way. So it takes practice to, like Deirdre was saying, that it happened to her 5 years prior to that incident of her losing her hair. But it does take practice. And again, like she said, the more you honor it, the faster you'll be able to listen to it and see things happening. So Deirdre, one last question before we wrap up. What is one fun thing that you love to do but nobody knows about?
That nobody knows?
Nobody knows about. Well, they're about to know now, but what's one fun thing that you love to do but nobody knows about?
Okay, well, two things. I love to dance. That's just kind of a known, but I also love to, like, when I sing, so I recently got into singing. I've been like writing music and singing. That's pretty like on the hush hush, no one knows. But every single time I sing, is my cats need to be on top of me or climb my leg because they really like my singing. So it's singing. I'm writing my own music right now. I want to be on, like, for fun, but it's not many people know that about me.
Oh, that is brilliant. I'm glad that you shared it with me and everybody who are listening. That is beautiful. So Deirdre, one final thing, where can everybody reach out to you? I mean, how can they reach out to you? Is it, do you have a website that you can share, or your social media? What's the best place that people can reach out to you?
Yeah, I would say, you know, social media is great. It's I am Deirdre Suriani on Instagram. My website's radicallyaligned.com. If you are watching live, please reach out. I'd love to hear like what stood out to you, what you're up to, how your intuition's speaking to you. Let's have a conversation.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Deirdre. Thank you for joining me today. What a pleasure, what a blessing to have you, and all the best to your book and to your event and to many more successful events that you're going to be having. Remember to give me a signed copy of your book when we next meet, hopefully very soon. And until the next episode, this is your host, Dr. Izdihar Jamil. Tell yourself, yes, I can, and so it is done. All right, Dee, let's say bye to everybody.